This is Ahval Online, meeting point of accurate news and free comment on the current affairs of Turkey. Welcome to our podcast series.
Hello, my name is Nicholas Morgan. I'm an editor at Ahval News, and this is Turkey Abroad. Joining me this morning is Rebecca Harms. She is a former member of the European Parliament, and she is currently the vice chair for the Center of European Press and Media Freedom. Rebecca, thank you for joining me this morning.
Hello, nice to be with you.
So I want to ask you about last week. We had the recent European Union summit that touched heavily on Turkey, and they released a communique at the end that highlighted where they felt progress was. And they acknowledged that Turkey has made positive steps to de-escalate tensions with the bloc in their view, and included some promises, particularly updating the customs union, but warning Turkey that if they get off the de-escalation path, then we'll just be back to where we started and they could potentially face sanctions in some sectors. But if you were to judge the outcome of this European summit for Turkey, how would you describe it?
I must say I was astonished. Maybe also because I'm not so much in the details of the processes which take place between EU, some of the member states, and Turkey. So we have the multilateral, but also the bilateral dialogues and negotiations. But nothing what I knew from the recent developments in Turkey and by recent steps of Turkey also outside of its borders is looking for me as if Turkey would really leave the path Erdogan has chosen, obviously since 2016. Maybe the negotiations around the resource interests in the east of the Mediterranean, maybe these negotiations with Greece are becoming more promising or softer. But overall, I would say that Turkey's development in the country, but also Turkey's involvement in Syria in the war between Azerbaijan and Armenia is not something that promises de-escalation or better relations. And I was surprised that the European Union is making a new offer to help Turkey economically without really asking some of the major conditions around human rights and rule of law and respect for international treaties mentioning.
And the impression I got was, at least on paper, they wanted to make it appear as if they were offering a series of carrots and sticks to Turkey and just lay it out all on the table. Because I remember covering the last summit in December, and there was a lot of expectation that stronger action would be taken. But the tone of it was very anxious, so to speak, at the time where they ultimately decided to, quote unquote, give diplomacy a chance with Turkey still until this summit that we just recently had, and to let, as Chancellor Merkel had put it, like, let the Biden administration settle into office so that way they could potentially coordinate there. But so if you don't perceive genuine progress away from the path Turkey has chosen, do you think that perhaps the European Union was probably looking for more of an off-ramp from the current state of tensions with Turkey, with this new set of findings from their recent meeting?
I don't, I'm not sure whether I got your question correctly. Which new sets or new results findings you mean.
Let me rephrase. My apologies. Yeah. With the final conclusions from the European summit, do you get the impression that they were looking for just more of an off-ramp from the open political tension that they were having with Turkey more than anything else? Or if there has been not really too much noticeable progress on other fronts?
Yeah, but I do not see that there is real progress concerning the line the European Union has followed towards Turkey. So they never really left this method of offering carrots and showing sticks. They have not achieved major progress in Turkey on the major problems they were working around. And so if you look, for example, on the actual development against democratically elected opposition in Turkey, you can say it's a disaster. So in spite of even the decisions of the European Court of Human Rights, Selahattin Demirtas is in prison since more than 4 years, and so are many of his colleagues representing HDP. I checked again today, so out of more than 60 mayors, HDP mayors elected, I think in 2019, now you find six still in office. So this systematic breaching of fundamentals of representative democracy in Turkey should see more and more strict reactions by the European Union. It's simply unacceptable that more and more elected politicians are incarcerated and having no chance for any kind of fairness in independent trials in independent courts.
We had a podcast recently with our editor-in-chief where he had two guests comment on how this recent European summit, it did seem quite focused around how to improve the relations, whether it's like the customs union or also in the Eastern Mediterranean. But they also remarked about the human rights situation as well. And one of them had said that the impression that basically comes out of it is that Europe doesn't care about the domestic situation of human rights in Turkey when they acknowledge it, but then ultimately, as you said, they don't brandish the stick when Turkey has consistently committed new transgressions on that front. Do you share that opinion in that case?
So I would say, so since the European Union offers the upgrade of the customs union, they should know that this is, and they know it, yeah, that this is what Erdogan urgently needs to improve the economic situation in Turkey.
Yes.
And so knowing that he needs it, so they also have to condition it. So if this is not linked, the upgrade is not linked to Turkey delivering on human rights and rule of law. So it is for me a lost opportunity. So my observation, my judgment of the development of the relations is that Erdogan and those close to him in the leadership of the country, they are really stepwise, but systematically going away from the European Union and the idea of a membership. They deny this, but it's quite visible in many different contexts in Turkey, but also in NATO or in the conflict in the Eastern Mediterranean. You see it everywhere. And the reaction by the European Union is not adequate to this.
The HDP case, if I'd like to just go back to for 1 second, actually, because I think increasingly that is becoming almost the poster child issue of the increasing authoritarianism that we are seeing in Erdogan's Turkey. And I spoke to, in February, Kati Piri at the European Parliament here on Turkey Abroad. And she was called for the European Union to take a united, to form a united voice and take a united stance, calling for Turkey to abide by the European Court of Human Rights rulings that called for the release of, in this case, Selahattin Demirtas and others like Osman Kavala, the civil society activist. But of course, Demirtas and the HDP, they're not the only political forces under pressure in Turkey, naturally, but shutting down the second largest opposition party is a real prospect that we're facing right now in Turkey. And the trial is right around the corner, where we're going to get our first hearing on that soon. But do you think that the odds of this being likely, it will actually have a real impact on Turkey relations? How do you think that would reverberate?
So I read the resolution of the European Parliament, which also Kati Piri probably has contributed to. And I appreciated it that, again, the parliament named three cases. Demirtas, but also Mrs. Yüksedag was explicitly mentioned, so the co-leader of HDP and Osman Kavala. So I appreciated that the names are mentioned and that the European Parliament insists that the rulings of the European Court of Human Rights has consequences, is respected by Turkish courts. So even if this would happen in the three cases, which I'm very much in favor for, but even if this happens, there are hundreds and thousands of people imprisoned in Turkey, which will continue to suffer. And I think the pressure on Turkey must be to really return to the rule of law and to the independence of justice. And it should be also made much more clear for the Turkish public that what is happening right now in Turkey under President Erdogan and the power he organized for the president, meanwhile, that this is bringing the country more and more away from the European Union. I'm sometimes not sure whether Turkish citizens already understood that the chances for membership or functioning good relations are really diminishing.
Alongside the case of the HDP, there's another human rights related issue that I'd also like to get your opinion on, actually. Because last weekend we saw President Erdogan issue a decree to leave the Istanbul Convention, which is designed to combat gender-based violence, particularly against women. And they also said that one of the reasons was that it normalized homosexuality as one way to make an excuse for leaving the convention, but also to make a pitch to their base of voters back home. But this is also taking place at a time where we see a lot of we see a pretty harsh rise in the amount of anti-LGBT rhetoric coming from Turkish officials. That was all throughout the Boğaziçi University protests in Istanbul. And this is also taking place within the backdrop of a rise in femicides in Turkey from even before the pandemic, but exacerbated absolutely by the lockdown that followed. Neither of these really came up at all in the final communique from the European summit. Do you think that this was also a missed opportunity to speak out more strongly on the state of women's and LGBT rights in Turkey?
So it was obviously a step to leave Istanbul Convention, which served as a gift to Islamist traditional and extreme right forces in Turkey. So Erdogan obviously needed, this political step against the interests of Turkish women and against also his declared commitment to Europe, because he is weaker. He's at least as weak that he needs to make gifts to allies, to possible political allies. So for Turkish women, it's a disaster because in Turkey, anyway, in spite of the membership to the Istanbul Convention, Turkey has major problems with violence against women. And in this period of the purge in Turkey since the failed coup, these violence against women had also, again, specific and worrying forms, even in the prisons. Yeah. So it's a catastrophe, but EU should work on this. They also should have, especially in the context of the customs union, they should have mentioned the second step during this very special day of decision making in Turkey, the change in the board of the National Bank of Turkey, because this was also something what from a European point of view is unacceptable. So to nominate a partisan to lead the National Bank and to give up any independence also of the National Bank is for the EU relations and also for the expectations for the development of the customs union is a very negative step.
You mentioned earlier in this conversation,
another gift obviously necessary.
Of course. And there's one comment you made earlier in this conversation that I would like to bring up again, and it's that you mentioned that rhetorically Erdogan may be trying to place Turkey closer to Europe or the West in general, but systematically is moving in the exact opposite direction. And this I think was a reflected acknowledgement in the communique, at least, that they said that we all knew this for a long time, those of us who are watching Turkey or Turkey European Union relations, that the accession process for Turkey to become a member of the EU is functionally over, it's frozen. And this is accepted even as Erdogan had said, quote unquote, he wants to see Turkey's future with Europe. And that being said, do you think that through all of that, as the accession process came to an end and Turkey and Europe began drifting further away from each other, that has left Europe only with the option to influence Turkey on human rights grounds with economic sanctions, and that more wider leverage to see changes on that front have been lost? Or is there something else left that's available for advocating for reforms on the human rights front in Turkey for Europe?
I think right now the link between Turkey's interest in the customs union and Europeans and also citizens of Turkey interests in improvement of the human rights and the democratic situation is the better way to go. I'm definitely against an upgrade of the customs union if Turkey does not deliver on a rule of law and human rights. So that's the decision right now, not economic sanctions. But regarding sanctions, I think the European Union should prepare these Magnitsky-style human rights sanctions against people in Turkey who are personally responsible in the hierarchy, for example, as prosecutors or judges or as high-rank men and in the police, etc. Yeah? So those people who are knowingly breaking the human rights rules and who are ignoring the decision of the court in Strasbourg, they should feel the consequences, as we do it also as European Union, meanwhile, with countries like Belarus or Russia. We created in the European Union these sanction possibilities, human rights sanctions, personalized sanctions, to not only regard what's going on, but to be able to react.
Do you think the reason why the European Union might be reluctant to consider these sanctions that are similar to the ones we see, the personalized ones that we see in Belarus or Russia, as you mentioned, is it only because they're afraid that Turkey might renege on the migration deal?
So this is a big issue, yeah, and the migration agreement should be discussed. But it should not only be discussed in the context of what the EU is doing or not doing, but as an agreement which serves also to achieve a better situation for refugees. It's, from my point of view, a necessary agreement, especially because it really improved the situation of refugees, especially from Syria in Turkey. But it should not hinder the European Union to support democratic citizens, human rights activists, or human rights lawyers or journalists in their engagement for democracy in Turkey. And those human rights sanctions, maybe they never have a direct impact, a strong direct impact, but they are also counting to strengthen the democratic part of Turkish society.
Rebecca, it was really good to have this conversation with you. And there's absolutely a whole lot of other topics that I would like to go into, but I do hope that in the meantime you do consider coming back to Turkey abroad.
It would be
really good to hear from you again for both me personally as well as our listeners. So again, I appreciate your time this morning for joining us.
Yes, and hope to meet you once in Washington or in Istanbul. I would really appreciate to return to Istanbul.
So I would really appreciate getting a chance to return to Istanbul as well. It's a beautiful city and perhaps my personal favorite on earth, outside of my hometown, New York, of course.
Okay. Bye-bye. Huh?
Okay. My name is Nicholas Morgan, and this is Turkey Abroad.
You can follow Ahval News Online podcast series through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spreaker. All you need to know about Turkey is here, for your ears, mind, and attention. Thank you for listening to our podcast.